And turn to 2 Kings 14 chapter. 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings, the 14th chapter in the Old Testament. Got a couple of kings going on here. We have King Amaziah, and he is of Judah. And we have King Jehoash, he is of Israel. And they're going to have a conversation in this chapter, and we're going to learn a Bible truth, and then we're going to look at a lot of scriptures that deal with this topic this morning, and I'll share you that topic in just a moment after we look at the passage of Scripture. We're in 2 Kings chapter 14, and we're in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord to a point. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash's father did. Now, what did Joash's father do? Well, that's an interesting question. Verse 4, howbeit the high places were not taken away. He kept some things in reserve. As yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. Speaking of idolatry and idolatrous worship, and that was tolerated under King Amaziah. It was tolerated under his dad. So we've got kings, they've got a kingdom, they've got property to take care of, they've got business that needs to be attended to. Some of the things they're doing is right, and some of the things they're just ignoring. Verse 5. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants, which had slain the king, his father. Now, why in the world was his father killed? Well, his father was killed because he killed Zechariah. Zechariah was the preacher. Zechariah was preaching against sin. And his dad didn't like it. So he killed the preacher. And the people that were loyal to God in the kingdom, more so than the king, the servants of King Amaziah said, you killed the preacher because he was addressing sin in your life, and that's not right, so they killed the king. So Amaziah comes in and he says, I'm going to kill those who killed my dad. And so we got all kinds of stuff. I just say, there's just stuff going on here at home. The king could have taken care of stuff. And what was Zedekiah preaching against? I don't know. The Bible tells us that they're not taking away the high places, so maybe he was touching on that. And maybe the king kind of liked going up there and offering sacrifices to idols and incense on the mountains. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with that. But anyways, he tolerated it. His son, King Amaziah, tolerated it. People, he's killing the preacher because he's preaching against sin, and they're killing him because he's killing the preacher. Do you note some things in the kingdom that probably not in the right? So when the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord to an extent, yet he tolerated the high places, you can probably imagine what is going on. Now, verse 6, this is an example of he did some things according to God's word and some things he didn't. Verse 6, the children of the murderers he slew not. Now, why didn't he do that? Now, there's a proverb in the Old Testament times, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And that proverb taken to mean that because of the father's sin, the children are going to suffer the consequences. And quite clearly in those passages, God told children of Israel, you are never going to be able to use those phrases again. I judge men, according to his sin. Don't judge the children according to the father's sin. So that's what verse 6 is referencing. The children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So his dad should have been killed for killing King Zedekiah, right? Also, not only that, but in, you see that he has access to the law of Moses. What's in the law of Moses? Well, the Ten Commandments. What are the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship anything in the earth above or heaven beneath. Thou shalt not worship and not a graven image. You're not supposed to do that, but he's tolerating that. So he's taking parts of God's word and he's, well, we're not going to kill the children because Moses said not to. Well, what about the groves? What about the high places? What about the worship to idolatry? We'll tolerate that one. Pick and choose. Verse 7. Now he's going to go to battle. And he's going to go to Edom. He slew of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. So he's going to go to battle and he's going to have some success to a certain extent. And that, how shall we say, encourages him to go to battle some more. And that's where we come to the change in paragraph and the great reversal in his life and why he was removed after 29 years. So this is not just going on for a year or 2 years or 3 years. This is a pattern of his life. Some things he's going to do right, some things he's going to do wrong. He's going to do he's going to tolerate some things, he's going to kill some people, going to go to war, going to conquer some other nations because they're not doing the right thing, but you're not doing the right thing. And he's having some degree of success until he doesn't. And that's where we come to in verse 8. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. Let's take this outside. Let's meet on the battlefield. And Jehoahaz, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passes by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. They say, what in the world does that mean? He's got a little sarcasm going back there. And he says, you know what? You are a thistle. And you are a nagging, a little weed. And you're demanding that a superior force bow to you. And some wild animal is going to come and stomp on you like a, going to squash you like a bug. And my dad would put it like this when we were kids growing up. I'm going to squash you like a bug. And that's what my dad would say. And that's what this king is saying. I'm going to squash you like a bug. It is interesting, given the confidence that he had, that he was going to be successful over this King Amaziah, that he just didn't say, yeah, okay, come on, let's do it. Let's step outside. Let's take this on the battlefield. But instead, he's got enough business at home. He doesn't want to fight Amaziah. He doesn't need to get involved in his drama. After all, they're all Israelites, right? They're all brothers and sisters. They should be getting along, should they not? I mean, we're allies, right? Until you're not. I think I can rule you better than you can rule yourself. So I'm going to come over to your country, go to Edom, and kill 10,000, have some success here. And we just think that success is going to continue. And you look at somebody who's involved in other people's business, and you say, well, he's had some measure of success. Well, he has had some measure of success. Until he doesn't. And then it all comes crashing down. Verse 10. Now, indeed, he's going to call to mind. He said, I know what you've done. I've been following your history. You've been involved in other people's lives. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart has lifted thee up. You got a pride problem now. You're in a battle that you cannot win. You provoked a bear, and you're a little thistle, and this is not going to end well to you. Keep home, mind your own business. You've got a lot of problems at your own in your own country you need to deal with. Yeah, I got problems over here without a doubt. But you've got problems. You fix all your problems. You get your people perfect, and then you can come and deal with me. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart has lifted thee up. Glory of this, and tarry at home. Stay at home. For why shouldest thou, notice the word, meddle to thy hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah, verse 11, would not hear. He just would not. Therefore Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to their tents. And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the houses of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Now let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts, and that we would take away an eternal truth that would help us on this day and in the days to come. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. There's a difference between the two kings. King Amaziah was a busybody. He meddled in other people's business. Eden's already getting her pen out. Eden, here we go. A busybody, two words, or busybody, one word. Are you a busybody? A busybody. There's nothing wrong with being busy. You can be a body and be busy. But when you are a busybody, when you start meddling in other people's business, which is what King Amaziah was doing, you do err. And there are lots of scriptures that talk about the meddling that we get involved in when we meddle in other people's business. What's the issue? Well, Amaziah had a pride problem. People tried to talk to him. They certainly did. Problem is, he wasn't listening. I imagine when he killed the other guys that had taken action against his father for killing the prophet, the preacher, Zechariah, that he didn't listen to them. But he certainly didn't listen to the king of Israel. A busybody, according to Webster's 1821, is a meddling person, one who officiously concerns himself with the affairs of others. A person who is interested in things that do not involve them. A lot of our world wars are as a result of men who wouldn't stay at home, this is a war, and mind their own business. He just wouldn't mind his own business. And there is a need for that. And he had a pride problem, and he just would not hear. A lot of presidents, a lot of kings, a lot of dictators over the years. And you study the history and you read the backstory on many of our world wars, and you'll find that it was people that would not listen to their advisors, and they had some degree of success, and they just went headstrong, head forward, and were just going to do it. And it didn't end well. And they were meddling in other people's business. Ancient Greek philosopher Theophrastus in 1709, one who interferes and frustrates, one who knows everyone's business. Preacher, are you on Facebook? I am not on Facebook. Why? Because I don't need to know everyone's business. Why? Because I am a busy body. I have a lot going on. But I am not a busybody. I am not in everybody else's business. But I stay busy. Somebody said to me yesterday afternoon, got up in the morning, we had breakfast, we went out and knocked on doors, we took the verse memory lunch, drove out, got back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm thinking, yeah, I gotta finish off preparation for Sunday morning, Sunday night, got some things to do, website needs to be updated, gotta change the thermostat back over, gotta make a couple more visits, and gotta stop here, and somebody said, hey, let's just hang out for a while. I don't have time to hang out for a while. Not on a Saturday, not a Saturday afternoon. Not when I've just given 3 of my Saturday hours to the verse memory lunch. I said, I'm not getting home till 8 o'clock tonight. That's pretty typical Saturday night. Stop by home. Why? Because I stay busy. And when you go home at night, do you turn on Facebook? No, I don't. Why? Because I don't need to know what you had for lunch. I don't need to know who you're mad at. I don't need to know that your clothes match. I just don't need to know that stuff. I don't need to meddle in your business. I'm not going to call you up and say, that tie really doesn't, that just doesn't go with you. If you want to dress weird, dress weird. I don't care. Some people, they just do. It's not my business. It's just not. But some people meddle. English law has a phrase, locus standi. And people were going to court, and they were wanting to testify. And the judge would say, you have no standing in this case. You're not a victim. You're not a witness. But people wanted to testify. So there's English law that says you must have some standing. You must have some connection with the matter at hand in order to be heard from the court. They kick you out. We call it, well, somebody told me. It's called hearsay. It's not accepted in court, but it is accepted in Christian circles. It should not be. So here's the problem. And I'll give you a lot of verses. I'll not make you turn there. I'll read them. And we'll turn to a couple of passages. And there are just so many verses that deal with the meddling of people in matters that do not belong to them. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16 says, "The sluggard..." Now, that's interesting. Proverbs starts it out with the sluggard. What is that? That is a body that is not busy. A body that is not busy often is a busybody. Because they don't have enough business of their own to deal with, they get involved in everybody else. Every once in a while, somebody will come up to Mrs. Bishop, and a typically young person, teenager, late teens, college age, and this, and they need to do this, and this person needs to do that. And then Miss Bishop looks at them and says, you've got enough stuff going on in your own life. We know how to tell everybody else what to do, how they should live, how they should order their life, but not ourselves. He meddled, this king meddled to his hurt and fell as a result. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason. That's what Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16 says. I have all the wisdom in the world. Now, here's 7 guys. And they're all smart people, and they all live right, and they're all godly, and they're telling you you're wrong. Well, I don't care what their reason is. That's what the sluggard says. He that passeth by, I like verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth, there's that word again, same word that was used of King Amaziah. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Now, listen, if you want to know what that's like, go home this afternoon and do that. And I'll meet you at the emergency room for the stitches that you're going to get as a result. Grab a dog by the ears and hold him up. And you should expect to get bitten. That's Proverbs 26, verse 16 and 17. What is it talking about? It's talking about the sluggard that is not busy doing anything. He's got time on his hands to think and to meddle and to look and to scroll through Facebook to see what everybody else's business is and comment on it and then get upset when people say, are you stupid or what? Say, preacher, that's not a kind word. It is not a kind word. What's the problem? The problem is it's a violation of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 3 says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold thine eye, and thou see..." Let me try this again. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Talking about unkind words, in Matthew chapter 7, the scripture says, "Thou hypocrite." Now that's pretty strong. That's not kind. How would you like it? You come out the door, you're a hypocrite. What do you mean by that? I mean, those are fighting words. But that's what God calls the person who is meddling in other people's business. Who is that? That's the sluggard. That's a guy that doesn't have a job, and he's not working, and he's not serving in church, and he's not teaching Sunday school class, and not singing in the choir. But he's got lots of time on his hands to tell everybody else how they should be doing their job. "Thou sluggard, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." I love that passage, and you just imagine for a moment that you're having surgery tomorrow morning, and the surgeon comes in with a blindfold on. He said, "I can do this so much, I'm going to do this blindfold." He says, "I think I'll get another surgeon." I was sharing this yesterday. This is on the news, I think about a year ago. It was at the airport, and a blind person came in with a seeing eye dog. And they needed to go in to use the restroom, and they asked the pilot, noticed that he was having problems, said, "Do you need anything?" And he said, "Well, I need to go in to use the restroom, but I don't want to take my dog in there." And the pilot said, I'll hold your dog for you." So the pilot stood outside in the hallway with the seeing eye dog, holding on to the dog while the person went in, took care of their business, came back out. And people saw the pilot with the seeing eye dog, and then they saw him get on the airplane. And the people on the airplane said, we want a different flight. Why? Because they thought the pilot was blind. I wasn't. It's easy to see something in somebody else's life, meddle in business. Proverbs chapter 17, the beginning of strife, what is it like? Is like as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention, and God uses the word again, before it be meddled with. Don't do it. Don't grab the dog by the ears. Get bit. And say, "Oh, I got bit. Do you feel sorry for me?" No, you stuck your hand in business that wasn't your own. Grab the dog by the ears. King Amaziah, "Don't you feel sorry for me? They came in and took my gold and took my..." No, I don't feel sorry for you. Because he told you not to do it, but you're wiser than seven men that give a reason. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 11 says, Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment. Walking along, snake reach out, and he bites you. And then it says, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous, madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? And the answer is nobody can. Because he won't listen. He just won't listen. This is an interesting newsreel. I had to watch it several times. Somebody sent it to me, and then I had to read the comments and the article to find out what was going on. There was a fella. He didn't have a suit coat on. He had a white shirt on. He had a tie. He looked like a Christian. He had a little book in his hand, and he was just walking along. And he's walking down a sidewalk. And in between two buildings, there is an alleyway. It's about, I don't know, it looked maybe 6 feet, maybe 7 feet, maybe 8 feet wide between two buildings. It was fenced off, and on top of the fence was about this high. There was a dog, and the dog was, I mean, he's just He's a busybody. He's just looking to see what's going on. And there's this guy walking by, and he sees him. And so, right? And so he starts barking at him. And the guy is just walking along, and he walks by the gate, and he takes the thing in his hand. And as he walks by the dog, it just looks like he's going to walk by and ignore the dog. And he could have. But instead, he reached out with whatever was in his hand and tried to smack the dog in the nose. Well, the dog didn't bite his hand. The dog grabbed the book. Well, as it turns out, it looked like, and it was. It was a guy, probably a Christian, in a white shirt and a tie, and the book in his hand was a Bible. It was a New Testament. And he's walking along, minding, until he decides, you know what? I'm going to smack that dog in the face. And the dog took his Bible. And then he's standing there like, I kind of need my Bible. That dog just took my Bible. Now, what was he doing? He was meddling in business. It wasn't his own. He could have very easily passed by. Wasn't his dog. The dog wasn't really bothering him. Okay, the dog was barking. Turn your hearing aids off. That's what I would do. If something noises bothering you, just turn them off. Get yourself a set of earplugs. Walk on the other side of the street. There are lots of options, but you're going to smack the dog in the nose. The dog's going to take your Bible, and now you're going to go, give it back. Oh, no. Oh, man, you ever tried to get a ball away from a dog didn't want to give it up? Yeah, he's not going to give it up. I don't know what the end was. I read a couple of comments after the article. And this is what some of the people wrote after the article. It said, provoke a dog and suffer the circumstances. That wasn't my favorite one, but it was a good one. I liked the next one. The next one said this, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And I just liked that. You're going to do something dumb? Don't be surprised. And there are just a lot of Christians that get involved in meddling in business that is none of their own. Just interesting. What's the solution? God's got lots of solutions about meddling, being a busybody in other people's business. Here's a solution and a question. Do you want people to talk about you? You talk about other people. And my famous quote is, if a person... Who told you this? Well, so-and-so told me this. He said, you know what I found? That if someone will tell you things about other people, they will tell other people things about you. That person's not your friend. That person's talking about you too. So what should you do? You should run for your life. Matthew chapter 7 addresses that. So, shouldn't I say it? Shouldn't I repeat it? Matthew 7 verse 12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And a lot of people say, well, you know what the good book says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, that is not actually in the Bible, but it is a reference to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. How do you want to be treated? That's the way you should treat other people. Do you want other people to talk about you? Well, no. Well, then don't talk about other people. Do you want other people to listen to other people who are talking about you? Well, no. I'd like for them to be my friend and say, no, I won't. I don't want to hear it. Then don't listen to other people when they're talking about other people. And just remember, if they're going to talk to you about other people, they're going to talk to other people about you. Are you wise? Do you want to be wise? I think if I asked the question this morning, how many of you would like to want to be known as a wise person? Yeah, I want to be wise. How many of you would want to be known as a fool? I don't think anybody would raise their hand. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just, a man that says, every once in a while I'll be talking to my dad, and something will come up, and he'll say, I'm not going to say anything about that. Or he'll say, I think I've said enough already. What is that? Dad is 95 years of age, and he is exercising wisdom. And that's what Proverbs chapter 10 says. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools, Amaziah, 2 Kings 14, fools die for lack of wisdom. He could have listened to the more powerful, more superior, more advanced, more people, more advanced weaponry. And there was no doubt in the king of Israel's eyes that if we face each other on the battlefield, I'm going to win. There was no doubt in his mind. You're a thistle. You're going to get tromped by some rogue animal walking by. You are no worry to me. What? Why are you going to meddle in other people's business to your hurt? Leave it alone. Stay home. You've got a lot of business to take care of at home. But he would not listen. He would not hear. Well, preacher, I got to say something. Let's keep quiet. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and keepeth his tongue, keepeth his soul from trouble. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Ephesians 5, and not just an Old Testament thing, in the book of Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, why don't you just pay attention to where you're walking? Walk circumspectly. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And this is one of my favorite ones. But Pastor, what can I do? Why don't you just be a firefighter? What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a firefighter. Well, that's a good thing. Christians should be firefighters. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Man, that's just a... You have a fireplace at home? You don't put wood on it, the fire's going to go out. You got contention with somebody? If you stop throwing fuel on the fire, the fire is going to go out. Several years ago, Mrs. Bishop, I met with a couple, and Mrs. Bishop said, so how did it go? I said, they have an interesting approach to marital conflict. She said, how so? I said, well, she wants to solve things. She said, well, what's his approach? I said, he likes to throw a hand grenade in the foxhole and watch everybody scramble for their life. And he was always throwing... And she'd get real calm. You'd talk her down. She'd go, oh, calm, calm, calm. And then he'd get this stupid little smirk on his face. And you could see him in his mind that he'd pulling the pin and tossing the hand grenade in the foxhole. It would go poof. And she would hit the ceiling. And it was just like... Really, fella? Stop it. But I don't know where he is today, but I can tell you that unless he changed, he's probably still doing the same thing. What is that? I don't know how he sleeps at night. Because if I was his wife, I'd get a 2x4 and hit him while he was asleep. I would. I mean, it's just maddening. Absolutely maddening. So be a firefighter. Where there is no wood, the strife ceases. Going back 20 years ago, there was a mom that came to me, and she said, everybody's talking about my precious little girl, and they're saying this about her. And I said, I've never heard that. I have not heard that from a teen. I've not heard it from another person. I've not seen it in writing. None of the youth workers have come up to me and said that. She said, but they are. I said, well, I'll keep an eye out for it. If there is a problem, I'm going to deal with it. And 6 weeks went by, and mom reached out to me again. People are saying this about my daughter. And she said it. And then 5 years went by, and they were long gone from here. But they came back through the area, and we met them for a lunch or a snack or something at a coffee shop. And she said, we're 10 years later. She said, everybody's talking about my little girl and saying this. And finally I just said, I have heard that time and time again. She said, Who's been saying it? I said, there's only one person. She said, who is it? I said, it's you. I've not heard it from another teen. I've not heard it from another parent. I've not seen it in writing. I've had people say, hey, watch out on Facebook. If you see something going on, let me know. And The only person I ever heard say that was Mom. Over and over and over and over again. It's just insane. What can I do? Stop throwing wood on the fire. Parents, stop throwing wood on the fire. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I just let it go. That's what we can do. Keep quiet. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. I love this part. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So, Pastor, what do you think? Now the person says, Pastor knows. Now, maybe I do, and maybe I don't. But I look smart by just not saying anything. Keep quiet. Let it go. I like that look. I'll give that some diligent thought. You look wise, even a fool. 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look at two quick passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Again, this is not just an Old Testament thing. It's not just a New Testament thing. It's a 2025 thing. And the need, just be careful what we say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, and that ye study, Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica, you're writing them a letter, and why is he writing them this? That ye study to be quiet. Because I'm guessing that they weren't. And they were meddling in business that were not their own. They were taking the dog by the ear, they were throwing fuel on the fire, they were throwing a hand grenade in the foxhole, and they got some sick satisfaction out of watching people scramble. But every once in a while, somebody doesn't make it out of the foxhole in time, and somebody gets hurt. Study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, if we have commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that were without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. This is November 2024. A man was tried for killing his estranged wife. She was traveling in her car with her three minor children. And he waited for her, and with his pickup truck, he rammed the side of her car, disabling it. And then he got out of the car with a handgun, with her three little children in the back seat, and gunned her down in the middle of the road. The case went to court. It was in Benefield, Miss Benefield of Chautauqua, New York, which is just outside of Buffalo. And it went to court, and the jury heard the case, and they found him guilty of premeditated, he waited for, the killing of his wife, his estranged wife, in front of their three minor children. Sentencing day has come. So at court, you know, you have the ability to call witnesses and to testify if you want to. But now it's sentencing day. The judge has heard everything, and he's going to pronounce what the sentence is. But the guy wouldn't be quiet. And he's telling the judge that he should be let go, and the judge doesn't know what he's doing. That's, on sentencing day, that is not a good thing to tell the judge. He just wouldn't be quiet. And the judge was quoted trying to get control of this guy and says, all right, thank you. You're here because a jury convicted you of brutally killing your wife. And the guy is still talking back at the judge. And the judge says, okay, just be quiet. Hear me out. I've had enough of this. You're a narcissist. And the guy said, and the judge finally said some unkind words. Now, I've never heard a judge say this, but this is in the court record. The judge finally looked at the bad guy and said, shut up! And the guy looked back at the judge and said, I will not shut up. And the judge said, take him out of the courtroom. And they removed him from the courtroom as they gave the final verdict. And the judge gave him what was a maxima under the law, and that was 25 to life. And then he looked at the family and said, I've never done this before. He said, but I will be personally writing a letter to the parole board every single time he comes up for parole to make sure that this guy never sees the light of day again. What is that? That guy just wouldn't be quiet. Turns me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 5. And now this is the second time. Paul's writing. He writes the first letter and said, man, you need to be quiet. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. But Paul's saying, we know how to mind our own business. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might be chargeable to any, not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, sluggard, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are, there's the word, busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. What's he saying? There's some people that need to mind their own business. And this is the second letter he's had to write to the same church about the same problem. Busybodies. Gossips. Workers, not shirkers. Shirkers. I found that the most satisfied people in all the world are people that work and mind their own business. Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. December 1916, Germans wanted peace. Britain and France were going to be forced to settle. Woodrow Wilson was advised, I'm reading a synopsis on this week, Woodrow Wilson was advised to stay out of the matter. It was going to resolve himself. But he just couldn't do it. Britain and France knew that if they could get America involved, they could whoop the Germans. And so, Wilson meddled in business that was not his own. Peace was not achieved. And we understand the needless slaughter in World War I. Why? Because one man meddled in business that was not his own. Let's not start the next world war. Let's be busy bodies, but not a busybody. And there's a big difference. Father, I thank you for your word. Interesting word study. That I came upon over the last several weeks. I've enjoyed looking at everything you have to say about it. I pray that each one of us would be challenged in this day of meddling in other people's business, that it would not be us. And we would learn to quietly eat our own bread and not get involved in other people's dramas. To solve a lot of our marriage problems, a lot of our family problems, a lot of the teenage drama would disappear. Teens would learn just to mind their own business. Pray that you'd help us to do it. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You hear and say, preacher, I don't know Christ as my Savior. None of this makes any sense to me because I don't know Jesus Christ. But God is speaking to my heart. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand off. Hold it up for just a moment. Now, question number two. Pastor, I'm a Christian. Now, would you pray for me? God help me to be wise in my words and understand how to help those who are meddling in other people's business. And let me give that word. Pastor, yes. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, wonderful. Good. And that is my desire as well. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. Father, I thank you for speaking to hearts. I thank you for your word. May we strive to do exactly that. May we strive to be people that know you, are wise in our words and wise in our deportment. Help us to do it, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, every head is bowed, piano is playing, the altar is open.